Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Feel good this winter by getting the flu vaccine at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
If you think walking your dog or grooming your cat is a bit of a chore, how about caring for a tarantula or making sure your pet lizard is warm enough or that your budgie is getting its exercise? More people are considering exotic pets, it seems, but what research should they do first? Well, Dr. Michelle Dugan is zoology specialist at the Venom Lab at NUI Galway, and Dr. Barbara O'Malley from Village Vets in Bray is also associate lecturer in exotic species at the Veterinary College at UCD, and both join me now. Now, the last time you were on the programme, Michelle, we were talking about what animals you have, and you were telling us about your tarantula. Now, you thought nothing of it. I was quite taken aback. Can you explain to us why you have a tarantula as a pet?
Hello. Yes, of course. Well, I have a fascination for all sorts of strange creatures, and I've made a career of it as a university lecturer, in zoology, specialist of venomous animals. And in fact, a tarantula can make a rather odd pet, but a pet that's actually completely manageable in a house if you're able to care for it properly. And it's a fascinating animal with a very interesting behavior, very interesting habits, and a very interesting way to live.
But this is not like having a Labrador. Like, you don't have a tarantula for companionship, do you?
No, it's not a question of companionship. You're not going to cuddle your tarantula in the evening while watching television. That's not going to happen.
You might.
It might be a bad idea. You might do that once or twice, but you're going to regret it at the end. But a pet is not just an animal that you cuddle. It can also be an animal that you try to learn from in terms of zoology and habits and behavior, an animal that you want to study as well. And in the case of a tarantula, it's a little bit more that. Mm-hmm. On the bright side of it, though, a tarantula eats only once a week or once every 2 weeks. It doesn't lose hair. It doesn't smell bad. And you don't have to walk it every day. So... It's not that bad.
It does bite, though, doesn't it? I mean, it's not deadly, and I know a lot of people think they are, but they can bite.
So, indeed, they can bite, but nobody ever died from the bite of a tarantula. And on the other side, when you think about it, I take a lot more risk than petting a chihuahua and risking a bite there than actually having a tarantula in a terrarium at home. Any dog can bite.
Any dog can bite, you're right. What else do you have in terms of exotic animals?
Oh, well, I actually, at the university, I care for about 150 animals with my students. Even I'm in my office right now, I can tell you that I'm surrounded by 7 lizards, 2 python, and another snake. They're all absolutely fine. And a tortoise as well. That's mm-hmm. free roaming in my office,
right,
wherever it wants.
And tell me about the lizards, because I know you have one particular one who's a bit of a star at NUI Galway. Is that right?
Absolutely. We have Kenge. Kenge is actually a tegu lizard. She's a girl. She's about 4 years old, and she's about 4 foot long. She's a very clever lizard. Normally, reptiles are not particularly known for their interaction with their owners, but tegu lizards actually are. So my students on a sunny day would actually walk Kenge on the campus. She actually walks on a harness and a leash without any problem. She grew up at home during COVID with my family. She was partly free-ranging in and around the house. She knew her way in and out of the house. And she's actually quite cuddly, I have to say. She recognizes me. She climbs on my shoulder when she feels like being with me. So a lovely, lovely pet.
All right. Actually, it does sound nice, and you sell it very well. Barbara, listening to all of that here, you would see about 130 different species of animal every year. Is that right? Is that?
Yeah, well, not every year, but I just, on head count, what I've done over the years would be a lot of species, because most pet vets deal commonly with cats and dogs. But because I do with exotic species as well, I do up to 140 different types of species, from parrots to lizards, lots of tegus. I love tegus. They're lovely. They're fabulous lizards. Parrots, birds of prey, backyard hens, rodents, all kinds of snakes, turtles, lizards. Then lots of wildlife, wild hedgehogs and, you know, wild kestrels and anything that comes in out of the wild comes to me eventually
and
as well.
You treat them. So do you know what it is that attracts people to exotic pets?
Well, as Michelle says there, there's one thing is the fascination. They're so different in their physiology and their structure and their anatomy. I think so different about them, which I find so fascinating. You know, how they breathe, how they, you know, different... even perception of the world and stuff. But the other reason why people have this fascination with their zoology as such. But the other reason as well is that, you know, people have busy lives these days. They often can't have a dog because they're at work all day. So for families especially, there might be children with allergies. So you can't have a cat or a dog or a furry animal. So a reptile is a perfect pet for a family that are fascinated with animals. Or you could just want an animal that is there in, you know, waking up in the evening time when they're coming home from work. Mm-hmm. So lots of people who are working at home have pet ferrets or, you know, small furry animals like African pygmy hedgehogs or pet rats. So they can play with when they come home in the evening. They aren't demanding walks every day.
Come home from work and play with a rat is a thing.
Now, that, I have to say, pet rats are wonderful pets. They're mothers... mothers hate pet rats because they always associate them with vermin, you know, the dirt and, you know, it's a dirty animal. But they're some of the cleanest animals around because pet rats come from the laboratory industry. So they're very infection free. You know, they're very, very clean animals.
Back in the 70s and 80s, budgies were considered exotic, weren't they? And they were very common and very popular. Are there many of them around? Do people still keep them?
Yeah, I would see a lot of parrots. See, budgies often got a very unfair reputation because people think of them being little old ladies' pets and boring little things. But they're actually small parrots. They're highly clever animals. So they make a very good pet, especially for young families. They're great fun to have. And again, they're not demanding to be walked every day. Now, I do always say when you get a pet bird that you should fly it. It needs to have some flying space.
How do you do that, though, without it escaping?
Yes, you have to really, when you get a pet parrot, whether it's an African grey or a macaw or a cockatoo or a budgie, you have to have an area where they can fly, ideally an outdoor aviary, but just a flying room which is pet-proofed, mm-hmm. just like you would pet-proof your house against a puppy. So you'd have to have an area where they can fly freely every day and not pick up things and eat things around the house that might be, swallowed by them. Because parrots love shiny stuff. They're attracted to shiny things. So we would get a lot of African greys and pet birds coming in eating, you know, those tiny little batteries that we have now, those lithium batteries?
Circular ones.
Yeah, they often eat those. We've had a few of those. The magnetic thing on your phone wallet or anything that's kind of containing lead or zinc can be highly toxic.
They go for it and it's toxic. Yeah. So you have to get them out when that happens.
We'll have to make sure that they've no access to shiny things around the house.
Okay.
Be very careful.
You mentioned that the budgie is part of the parrot family. What about the speaking birds?
Well, they all speak. I mean, budgies have been known to learn up to 100 words, so even budgies can be quite clever. The most famous one as a pet was the African grey. They're not quite so glamorous looking. They're grey with red tail feathers, but they're wonderful speakers. And it's been proven scientifically that they have the IQ of a 5-year-old child. Mm-hmm. So they're very clever animals.
Longevity as well. If people are thinking about getting an exotic bird, they need to know that bird is going to be with them for a very long time.
Yes. I mean, budgies 8 to 12 years, but the bigger parrots like macaws and Amazons up to 50, 60 years would be common. So you have to do some future planning when you're getting these birds and leaving your will to somebody else as well, because they are very, very long lived.
And do they stay in good health if they have a very long life like that?
Well, the problem is most pet birds don't get taken to a vet annually because they don't get vaccination like cats and dogs. So we do recommend if you have a pet bird, they do get an annual physical every year, because a lot of people out there, their birds are not going to live as long as 40, 50 years because they're all on the wrong diets. They're given very fattening foods like seeds and nuts. But in the wild, these birds are flying, they're foraging, they're eating flowers, eating berries, they're eating, you know, leaves off trees. They're eating, they're not just stuffed with seeds and nuts all day in their cage.
So you have to adjust the diet and not just give them what you might think is the right food.
Yeah, I mean, we would see a lot of pet parrots with obesity and heart disease for that very reason. And they won't live as long. They're going to have a shortened lifespan, unfortunately, you know.
Michelle, you mentioned that you have a snake there in front of you, do you?
Yes, absolutely, yeah. There's three of them in front of me.
Okay, take us through who you have.
So I have actually two carpet pythons on one side, and I have an African egg-eating snake on the other side.
And are they fairly popular, do you know, in Ireland when it comes to people acquiring them as pets?
Yes, definitely. Over the past 10, 15 years, they've hugely gained in popularity, particularly a couple of species that are fairly small and completely harmless, like corn snakes or ball pythons. Those are snakes that are fairly easy to take care of. But on the other side, of course, they are not toys. And one of the issues that we encounter sometimes is that people actually buy them just as a fancy. And then they realize that actually these animals are going to be with them for the coming 15, 20, 25 years.
Yes.
And sometimes they abandon them. And that is a problem that you can find with all pets, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. And what kind of an enclosure do you need to keep a snake in? Because we heard about the importance of exercise there from Barbara with the other species. Does the snake need to move?
So a snake, of course, needs to move. However, their very way of functioning, their physiology, means that they would move often far less than a warm-blooded animal like a cat or a dog or a human being. They tend to be, for many species, ambush predators. So that means that even in the wild, they would actually sit and wait, sometimes for several weeks or months, for a prey to pass by. And then they will eat it. And then that prey will be sufficient for several weeks again. Mm-hmm. So they use very little energy. They function on an energy conservation kind of method. And as such, they don't need huge spaces. However, we consider that the vivarium should be ideally at least the length of the snake.
Okay.
So if you have a snake that's 4 foot long, you should be able to provide at least 4 foot long vivarium.
And dare I ask what you feed them?
Oh, well, I feed them, depending on the size, we feed them anything from mice to actually big rabbits, all dead, of course, all purchased directly from suppliers, because it is actually considered unethical to feed live animals to a snake. It would put the animal under extreme stress.
And can you buy dead mice and dead rabbits somewhere? Do I want to know
Absolutely.
The answer to that question?
Or you can go to most of your pet stores and they will have actually a freezer. And in that freezer, you're going to find frozen mice, rats and rabbits for all our reptiles, animals.
And you have to defrost them before you feed them to the snake?
Of course. Defrost them. We actually bring them to kind of body temperature, so about 30 degrees or so, because some snakes are sensitive to the heat signature of animals, and then the snake will just strike and coils around it, if it's a python or a boa, and then swallow it all.
You see, Barbara, I love animals, but I couldn't do that. I couldn't go there.
No, not everybody can. I mean, it also likewise, if you get a lizard, you have to buy insects every week to feed them insects as well. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, you can get dried insects, but they're not as
tasty.
Not as tasty and not as nutritious for the animal. It is different. But then again, if you are, I suppose, getting a cat or dog, you're feeding it pedigree, you know, some kind of meat in a tin. It just isn't so obvious to you as well.
Yeah.
So I suppose.
And just because this thing tends to go in crazes, doesn't it? Like, what is the thing at the moment that you see people acquiring? Is there a particular unusual animal that people are going for?
Yeah, well, I mean, throughout my career, you know, 35 years as a vet, I've seen all the kind of crazes. We had the Ninja Turtles, all the turtles. They were huge in the 90s, all then. They might come back in fashion a little bit now with this latest movie. So And then we had the iguana phase, and now it's all bearded dragons in the lizard world. The current phase in the mammal world the last 10 years probably was African pygmy hedgehogs. These are a tiny little hedgehog. They're tropical. They're from Africa. They're kind of white with kind of brown prickles. They're a charming little animal. They're more a pet designed for adults, so because they're nocturnal, obviously. So they are good if you're, you know, if you're young and working and you're coming home in the evening and want some company in your apartment because they're waking up when you're coming home. And they have to be kept in a bit like the snakes. They have to be kept in a warm enclosure with the kind of heating because they are African. Mm-hmm. But they are charming little animals. And the only downside to them is around the age of 3 or 4, they're quite prone to getting a lot of cancers and things.
Okay.
So they do need a lot of medical care. Well, no, they can live to 4 or 6. They can live longer, but they do need to have a lot of veterinary care as they get older.
Well, it's been very interesting talking to you both. Thank you very much, Dr. Michelle Dugan from the University of Galway and Dr. Barbara O'Malley, Village Vets in Bray and also Associate Lecturer in Exotic Species at UCD. Thank you both very much. We'll have the gathering next.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.